You know, I was listening to a tape this week when Carol and I went down to Springfield. And on this tape is an old colored preacher that had researched all the things, I guess you'd say, in the Bible that it described Christ, and then took all the words that he could think of that described something wonderful. And it was about 5 minutes that he was going through this, and he said, "Then, after all that, I wish I could tell you just how precious it is." And you and I today, you know, we can't begin to understand just exactly what God is, how wonderful He is. It's beyond man being able to explain it, describe it, put into words, because words cannot state. It's impossible to do it. You know, that's just like you see a sunset. Or you see, at last year when we was out west and seen the sun rising over the canyon there and the colors and stuff, and you can take pictures of it and the camera cannot catch those colors the way they were. An artist cannot paint them the way that they were. And you can tell somebody how beautiful it is, but you don't know how to put it into words, that in their mind they could picture what you're seeing. Well, for me to try and tell you about God and about Christ falls far shorter than that. It is just something that is not capable of being done. The most that you can say is wonderful, and it surpasses that far and far. And each and every one of us today, we need to live our lives because words cannot express it. So we need to live our lives to where those that we come in contact with might see Christ in us enough to understand what a difference He can make. And each one of us, God placed us here for a purpose, to witness and to be an example to somebody. And Paul, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the very first verse, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And you and I, that should be what we try our very best to do also. Not tell people how to live, but live a life that we can say, "Be a follower of me." And each and every one of us, God laid down an example in His Son here that if we will follow that, we don't have to be afraid of those that's walking in our footsteps of where it's going to lead them. And a parent most surely needs to live their life toward their children when they walk in those steps. That parent, when it comes down time for them to lay down and die, they won't look at those children and fear what's going to happen to them. Why? Because you lived a life and you laid out an example for them to follow. And if there's ever been a time that we need mothers and dads today, that will be example. It's this day in which we're living. Too many times people, they walk through life and they say, "Oh, I can't do anything to affect this world." But we can start with a little part where we live and live our life to where those children, those friends, those neighbors can see Christ in us and know that we have been born again. You know, it's so sad that people live their lives and when they come down time to die, there is nothing of value that has come of their life. I don't care how much money that we get together, what we can leave behind financially, that is not things of value that's going to last.
You know, there's a whole lot of things you can get in this life that is valuable. And some of them will go through a fire and still be just as valuable afterwards. But a lot of it, fire destroys. But you know, no matter what happens, a Christian life that's lived for God cannot be destroyed. It will live long after that person is dead and gone. Herman Seagrass has been dead and gone for years. A lot of you probably never heard of him, don't know much about him. Even those that I've mentioned him to, but he was a deacon that was a man of God that could pray a prayer and get an answer immediately. And I was just a kid when I seen him, but I remember him. I can still in my mind hear the prayers that he prayed. Why? Because his life still lives on, and it will to the day that I die. And you and I, that's the thing to leave behind, is that those people that heard those prayers, every one of them, probably a lot of them today not even living for God, but they still remember those prayers. Why? Because he was a man that followed God, and his life is still a testimony after he's gone. All right, if you'd like to read with us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And start with the very first verse, going along with what I quoted to you there out of the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter in the first verse. And this is Paul doing the writing in both places, but according to my Bible, the way they've got it recorded, this is about 5 years after the fact of him writing Corinthians. He said, the 5th chapter of Ephesians, starting with the first verse, Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, here in this scripture, Paul makes it very plain that it's not what you and I do that makes any difference, but it's what Christ did there. And Christ himself offered himself a sacrifice. And if you go back in the Bible, you'll find how that the sacrifices were presented and how that they were cleansed. Every bit of it, how it was taken care of, how that they had to treat it, what had to be done with it, and all, and it said at the end of it, that it was a sweet smelling savor before the Lord. Well, Christ, as he come there, offered himself on Calvary to be that very thing for you and for me. And sin is horrible as it was, that sacrifice that Christ gave, it wasn't like the lamb and the thing back there in the Old Testament that the people had to come and give an offering. They brought it to the priest, and the priest had to go and wash your hat and cleanse them before offering unto God. You and I today, we look at what he presented himself already clean, spotless before God. That perfect sacrifice was being offered for me. And then he said, you come unto me, and I'll give you life. That's what he's talking about. Walking in love. Walk before God in the love that God has bestowed upon you. Separate yourself from the things of this world, that we might be a true born again Christian. We're living in a day and a time when the world thinks one thing of a Christian, and God thinks something totally different. Because most of the time, what people looks upon as being a Christian, what they've heard of, is just a church member. But you and I, as a Christian, is going to go beyond what a church member does. If we're a true Christian, our life is going to be lived the same every day of the week. not just when we're in church, but every day of the week. And what comes out of our mouth is going to be something that we wouldn't be ashamed of if somebody were carrying a tape recorder around and they recorded it and brought it into church and played. We wouldn't be ashamed of the words that come out of our mouth. Why? If the heart's pure, the tongue is going to be pure. What comes out of our mouth, what is in our mind through the week, is going to be pure. And God said, for us to come and follow. Paul said, be a follower of me, even as I am also a Christ. You and I today, we should look around to those that we meet and say, come and follow me. Don't you go with me to church, but follow me, walk with me all the way to heaven. Why? Down here, there's a lot of people out there that's been friends with me that I'd like to see when this life is over. But the biggest majority of people, they don't want to live according to the Bible. They don't want to have their fellowship with God. But if only I could get them to understand just how precious He is, how important He is, how sweet and wonderful He is. If only I could get somebody, I'm able to get them to feel just how wonderful it is.
We need a world full of people that's experienced that change, that knows what it is to be a born-again Christian. You and I today, God stands ready to hear and answer. Have you ever stopped to think of what kind of a fellowship Paul had to have with God to live the life that he lived? With all of the abuse and the put downs and everything that he had, Paul had to have one special relationship with God, didn't he? But you know the good part about it? When he come down to die, he said each and every one of us, that's within reach of us. He didn't say that I'm unique, you can't do as I've done. God thought more of me than He did of anybody else, and He gave me something special. But Paul taught everybody can reach to that same place. Everybody can have that same relationship with God. It's within reach of each and every one of us. If we're following God, then that's what we can have. Christ didn't say, you climb the mountain by yourself. You get here the best way you can, and then I'll accept it. But He said, you just come and follow me. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. You and I today, we're never alone if we'll hold on to the hand of God. And we'll put our faith and trust in it. That love that went there to Calvary is here this morning with each one of us. If we want it to be, He's not willing to set in some little dark corner of our life, but He wants to fill our entire life. He wants to be all of us, and we'll let Him be.
And you and I today, God is ready to hear and to answer the prayers that we pray. And just like what Paul was saying, he said, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You know, you and I today, I don't know of anybody in life that hasn't come to a time when they felt like that they was all alone and that nobody cared. The devil will seem to get every one of us to that spot somewhere or another in our life that we're worthless and nobody loves us and nobody cares what happens to us. We might as well throw up our hands and quit. And that's when God is right there so close at hand that we all might call upon Him. Because Christ knows what it is to be forsaken. He knows what it is to be alone. He knows what it is to be rejected. Do you realize you and me have the promise that even Christ did not have? Christ said, I will go with you all the way even unto the end. But there when He was hanging on Calvary, and He called upon the Father that had never forsaken Him, He felt that the Father had turned it back upon Him, that He might die there on the cross. And He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? If there was anything that Christ did not forsake the whole it was that facing it all alone when the Father had to turn it back upon it. You and I today, God said, I'll never leave you alone in the darkest hour. And when I'll call upon it, we'll find Him right there.
Why? Because of that love.
And the Father loved me and you enough to make a way. Christ loved us enough to be the way. Do you know, love them enough to live in the way and to walk with them? And each and every one of us today, it's a decision that we make. My mother and father could not make it for me. I had to make it. Nobody can make that decision but you, whether you want to live for God or not. Each one of us, God loves us enough that He paid the price, and then He brings it so close as to knock upon the heart to give us the opportunity to open and invite Him in. And if we don't, when we stand before Him, He said, you're without an excuse. You know, I can come up with a whole lot of excuses why that I haven't accomplished more in my life. And probably every one of us has heard excuses why somebody has not prospered as well as somebody else. Well, we've got something to blame it on. But when we stand before God, there'll be no one to blame on us not being a Christian, but ourselves and the choices we made. I can't say that my wife, my children, or anybody else kept me from being what God wanted me to be. If anybody keeps me from that, it's me. That's how God made it. He knocks upon the heart. And nobody can keep you from opening that door unto Him if you want Him in. But you've got to make that decision. My dad, he loved a picture that some artist painted, and I forgot who it was now. And the title of the picture is Christ at Heart's Door. And in this picture, there was no knob, no latch, nothing that you could see on the outside of this door. It's all controlled from the inside. You and I, God does not come and open your door. You have to open it. Because it's all on the inside. It's up to you. While we get some song to sing. First one here today, your heart's not right with God. I beg you. I don't know the words to explain to you how wonderful God is. I don't know the words to explain to you how wonderful it feels to know your sin has been forgiven. I don't know the words to explain to you what it's like to feel that Spirit as it flows to you. But when I see a person's face that the Spirit moved on, I know exactly how they feel. And I know they can't tell me why I've been there. I know they can't tell me. Word just fails.
explain it, but yet you know it. You and I today, that's how wonderful God is. I can't tell you, but when you get it, I know you'll know it. And everybody looking on will know it. And God wants you to have it. It's not something that He's reserved for just a very few, but He said, whosoever will, let him come. Drink of the water of life freely. I'm not charging you for it today, because it's not within me. God's not charging you for it. He's saying, come and bring it to you. Do you want it?
How we say, if you don't know what it is to have your sin forgiven and have that Spirit on the inside, that you can say beyond a shadow of any doubt, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that if I die this very moment, that I go to heaven. Will you come? If there's a question there, whether you're right with God or not, then I can tell you, you're not. Because if you are, you know it. That's something you know. You know if your sin has been forgiven, just like these lights here. We know that there's electricity coming to them because they're burning. But if they're out, then there's no choose there. You and I today, when Christ comes in their heart, their life, it just brings a light in there that lights up everything. Just like that light bulb. It's got everything there that's able to burn, but it just don't have the juice. That's the difference. You and I today, you might say, well, I've got a wonderful eye. You don't know what it is until you come in touch with God. They really find out when God likes you, what a difference it makes. Will you come?